Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Movement Radio. I am your host, Chip Hazard.
Here comes the pain! My name is Talon Williams, and we are here for part two of our, I guess, review of Loudwire.com's top 50 new metal albums of all time. We had just done a video last week, a podcast last week of our top 10. And now we're going to go through, probably finishing out maybe our top 20 or our top 25. Just depends on how far we want to go with this video. But Chip, do you want to do a recap of what we talked about last week?
Yeah, real quick, we'll recap. So what we were doing is we were going over Loudwire.com's list of top 50 new metal albums. At the same time, Talon and I disagreed a lot with their list. So we decided we're going to do our own list. But then again, we couldn't really agree with each other on this list. So we're giving you Chip's list and Talon's list. It's top 50 new metal albums. And we did add a few caveats with the parameters of where we came up with these lists.
Right.
And why we placed these albums in the order that we placed them. One was due to influence of the new metal culture, the ability to listen to an album from beginning to end, what they, along with influence, like, not really record sales, but, you know, was it a hit record,
right?
Kind of deal.
Yeah, and also we throw in our own little personal, taste in there as well, but for my top 10, I'll go ahead and just play mine first. Number one, I have Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park. Number two, I have Follow the Leader by Korn. Number three, Significant Other by Limp Bizkit. Number four, Iowa by Slipknot. Number five, The Sickness by Disturbed. Number six, Meteora by Linkin Park. Number seven, Issues by Korn. Number eight, Around the Fur by the Deftones. Number nine, The Fundamental Elements of Southtown by POD. And number 10 is Devil Without a Cause by Kid Rock.
All right. And my top 10, from 1 to 10, I've got Significant Other by Limp Bizkit, Follow the Leader by Korn, Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park, The Sickness by Disturbed, Volume 3, Subliminal Verses by Slipknot, Issues by Korn, Devil Without a Cause by Kid Rock, Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water by Limp Bizkit, Candy Ass by Orgy, and coming in at number 10 was Infest by Papa Roach. So there's where we land with our top 10. We'll take a small, quick commercial break here, and then we'll come back and we'll each give you our 11 through at least 20, depending on how time flows and everything like that. We'll see you on the other side. And welcome back from that break. Talon, you want to jump in and maybe give us what album would you put at number 11?
Well,
Loudwire.com had number 11 listed as Evanescence Fallen,
which is a good album. I do like that album. But Bubba, I decided while we were doing the research for this, I was looking through a lot of the albums, and a lot of the albums are by artists that I enjoy, but I didn't think that was their best album.
Okay.
For example, and this is going to lead into my number 11.
Okay.
The number 40, let me go back through here. The number 47 album, Nonpoint Statement. I like the album Statement. It's got a lot of good songs on it. Mind Trip, Endure, What a Day. But I personally believe that the Nonpoint album Development was an overall better album. And I think that it's my personal favorite album.
Okay.
It was the first Nonpoint album that I listened all the way through. This was the album, I liked Nonpoint during the Statement record, but the Development record really made me, this is one of my favorite bands ever. So at number 11, I would put Development by Nonpoint. And that's kind of on a personal thing for me. I would say development by non-point would be right there at number 11 for me. What would you do for number 11?
So at number 11 for me, it's kind of Loudwire.com had this album listed. Give me just a second, because I just looked at it. I think it was in the top 20. It's the album that you have listed at number 6, Linkin Park's Meteora.
Right.
That's number 11 for me.
Okay.
Like we said on episode 1 of this, Meteora and Hybrid Theory are the two most like sounding Linkin Park albums.
Right.
There is. Now, I will tell you that neither one of these albums are my favorite Linkin Park album.
Right.
My favorite Linkin Park album, I wouldn't consider a nu metal album, and that's what we're talking about today.
Right.
I like Hybrid Theory. I like Meteora. When it comes to Linkin Park, mm-hmm. but I personally think that they had better albums after that.
Okay, that makes sense.
But for me, in relevance to this list, Meteora comes in at number 11.
Right. For me, at number 12, right. I have an album that you have actually listed at number 10. I have Infest by Papa Roach at number 12.
Okay. And Loudwire.com has Incubus's Make Yourself at number 12.
Let me say this, and again, this is no disrespect to the band Incubus. I think they're a great band, but I never considered Incubus nu metal. I never considered, they were more pop rock to me. That's how, because they had the song Drive, they had the song Stellar, they had the song Pardon Me, which I think Pardon Me was probably one of their harder songs, because everything after that was like Talk Shows on Mute was kind of a slower song, and Wish You Were Here was kind of a slower song. So
right.
Here's the thing, just because a guitar has a little bit of distortion doesn't make you nu metal, if that makes any sense, you know? I'm not saying they don't have harder songs.
No, you're right.
But they weren't known for those harder songs. You know?
So, I was just reading a little blurb here that Loudwire put with this. It says, it may not be the most heavy on the nu metal sound, but they did find a way to incorporate hip-hop and funk into their alternative metal.
Right.
Which does make it new metal,
yes. However, aside from Pardon Me, Stellar, and Drive, can anybody else like name me any other songs on that record?
No, I cannot.
You know, can you sit down and listen to it from start to finish without skipping a track, saying, "Oh, it's kind of slow at this point. Let me jump over to Drive or something." You know?
No, I can't.
And you know, and that's where it is for me. I'm not saying it's not a great record. I'm just saying for me, it doesn't. It sounds more pop than it does metal, if that makes any sense.
Kind of like
All American Rejects, I know, is like pop punk in a sense. It's kind of the same what Good Charlotte was and different things like that. And I know that's, you know, post, you know, like mid 2000s pop punk deal when all that was going around still, and you know, Blink-182 was still going strong at that point. But for me, Papa Roach, especially the Infest album. Again, I could listen to that album all the way through. With, you know, it had great songs like Last Resort, Blood Brothers, Broken Home. You know, there was a lot of good tracks on that record that I could listen to all the way through. And I would say I would put Infest at number 12.
Okay, Infest at number 12.
Yes.
I've got at number 12, I got POD's Satellite.
Right.
And I do like, you know, the fundamental elements of Southtown.
Right.
But I thought Satellite was a much better album.
Right.
It's the one POD album that I can put on and listen to from start to end.
Right.
I couldn't do that with Fundamental Elements of Southtown.
Really? Not even right there where they had, like, because they did have some instrumental part, like turntable stuff.
I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look at the track listing. There's one or two songs that I just don't vibe with, and I have to skip those to get to the next one. So I can't remember right off the top of my head.
Well, the big one was Rock the Party. That was their big hit from the Fundamental Elements of Southtown.
Well, and it's not even my favorite. My favorite is Southtown.
Right. See, with Satellite, and I find it funny that you put Satellite there at number 12, because at number 13 I also have Satellite.
Okay.
Because for me, again, like what I talk about, like the POD kind of introduced me to like the Christian rock almost, you know.
Well, yeah, but they also had a very reggae influence, which sent me down a wormhole to other bands.
Yeah.
Which is what nu metal did for me, you know, back in the 90s into the mid 2000s. Nu metal sent me down wormholes to genres of music, to bands that I would never have thought to listen to before.
Right, and bands that you probably wouldn't have thought to like in that sense either. You know, but when you think of the album Satellite, you think of Boom, you think of, you know, Alive, and probably one of their most popular songs that they've ever created, Youth of a Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Which still to this day is probably... Because you remember, around this time, Youth of a Nation came out either a little bit after or right around the same time that the Columbine shootings happened.
Yes.
So that song, you know, when it talked about, because it was like the first verse was from the perspective of someone who dies in a school shooting. The second verse is from the perspective of someone who committed suicide because of bullying.
Yes.
And then the last verse is basically about hope for the future generations.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it apropos in the year 2020 with all the bullshit going on in this world that a song like this could resonate to this day still?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And people could listen. I have posted it on my Facebook a while back that a lot of these kids nowadays have not listened to the song Youth of a Nation, and it shows.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the truth, you know, because how, you know, and I know that a lot of people is going to be like, well, you know, you can't really blame, you know, all the bad things that happen in this world because a kid didn't listen to a song. And you're right, I can't do that, but
that at the same
song,
time,
that album got a whole lot of kids through a whole lot of depressing times.
Well, but at the same time, I would argue for somebody that says you can't blame the world for problems because a kid didn't listen to a song.
Right.
You also can't, on the flip side, you can't blame somebody for shooting up a school because of an artist.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Columbine shooting, they blamed Marilyn Manson.
They blamed Marilyn Manson. They blamed Rammstein. They blamed Pantera. They blamed a whole lot.
You can't blame music.
Right. Right.
Because you can't blame music for sending you down a path at the same time as you can't blame music for not sending you down a path.
Right. Right. Yeah, but that's why I feel like this album is important, because, you know, it got kids through a tough time, you know, and it helped kids realize,
oh yeah,
you know, to treat other people better, you know what I mean? And that album in and of itself, you know, really, and honestly, maybe I kind of should have put it a little bit higher than 13, but the other ones that are above it are just as iconic, you know, so.
Yes.
All right, so what would you have at 13?
I want to go back for a second.
Okay.
To your number 11.
Okay.
Non-Points Development. They weren't originally on this list.
Yes.
So, to add an album that was not originally on Loudwire's list, we agreed that we have to take an album off.
Yes.
What album are we taking off?
The Statement.
We're taking Statement completely off.
We're taking Statement completely off. Because I believe that they did the right thing by putting a Non-Point album on the list. They just put the wrong Non-Point album on the list. Statement's a great album, but Development was a better album, honestly. You know, so I would take that off, and I'd put it right in the exact same place that it would be if we were doing this list. The way that if we're rearranging just the original list,
uh-huh.
and just removing, I would remove statement, and I would put development in its place. That's just my opinion. Excuse me.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that up because my number 13 is also not on this list.
Okay.
And I am going to have to do a little bit of whatever to figure out what I'm taking off.
Okay.
So
while you're doing that, I'm going to eat me some more of this Asian salad.
I think I have found it. I like the album, but I don't think it's one of the most influential albums in nu metal.
Right.
Coming in at number 46 on Loudwire's top 50 is Primer 55's The New Release.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to take Primer 55's The New Release and replace it with 2001's self-titled Edema album.
Yes.
Which is in turn going to come in at number 13 on my list.
Right. So, what is it about the Edema album that made it so important to you? Especially around that time, 2001, you know.
Man, I was just looking for something raw and gritty around that 2001 time. I had just gotten out of the military. It's right. So for those that you don't know, I graduated high school. I joined the Marine Corps. I went through basic training at the age of 17 and got a medical discharge 2 weeks before September 11th happened. So it was a very trying time in my life because as if anybody...
If you hadn't had that heart condition, you would have probably been sent off.
It wasn't a heart condition.
Well, you had...
I do have a heart condition. That's not why I was discharged.
Oh, I thought you were discharged because it was medical. It was because you had a murmur.
Discharged because... No.
Oh, okay.
I was discharged because I have something called exercise-induced asthma.
Gotcha.
It only flares up under extreme heat and extreme physical exertion.
Right. Like the deserts or someplace.
Correct. Okay. And they couldn't take the chance of me passing out in the middle of a war or whatnot. I understand. Mm-hmm. But it also sends you through, like, it sent me down this mentally debilitating time because I was like, shit, I'm not good enough to do this.
Right.
Or whatnot. And I came across this Edema album, and the song that I heard on it was The Way You Like.
Yeah, The Way You Like It. Yeah.
And I could just, man, I just put headphones on and I would listen to that song on repeat over and over and over. And it just, it hit me. And so that was the song that introduced me. And then I started listening to like the album, and it just got, for me, it was a better, you know, and they've had a couple albums since then, but
none have been as good as the original.
None as good as Edema was.
Do you think Edema gets,
here's the thing. I don't think Edema gets enough credit because of who the lead singer is.
That's what I was fixing to ask. Do you think that they kind of like, oh, well, you're Jonathan Davis's little brother. Let's go ahead and give you a little bit of some rub.
Exactly.
And you can tell in his voice, especially with the song Giving In, you can tell it's very much, like when I first heard Giving In for the first time, and I never even heard it, like my first time ever hearing Edema was hearing the song Giving In.
Right.
I heard the song, and I'm like, is that Korn? Because he sounded just like his brother. And then it's like, no, that's Edema. And I'm like, who the hell's Edema? And then you hear it, and they're like, well, that's not bad. That's actually pretty cool, you know? And then when you find out, oh, they're related, it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Right.
But then later on, you're like, man, why didn't they, like, why is Korn still around and Edema's not around anymore?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? There was some ulterior things that kept Edema from achieving grander success.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, they come in at number 13 because of their self-titled album.
Okay. My next one at number 14, I'm going to go with Limp Bizkit, Chocolate Starfish, and a Hot Dog Flavored Water. This album came out at almost the height of the new metal explosion,
mm-hmm.
you know? You know, and it, they had, again, many songs with Roland, My Generation, My Way. He did it, Fred Durst did a track with Exhibit on the record as well. They had Take a Look Around, which is kind of like a, which they used for the Mission Impossible movie that came out. I think it was Mission Impossible 3.
Yes.
3, yeah. You know, and it was, I mean, it was, it was an incredible album. I personally think that Significant Other was a better overall album, but they had just hit after hit after hit on this particular record, and I think that it was just as influential, if not, it's as equally influential as Significant Other. I just think Significant Other kind of forced nu metal into the forefront more than this album did. This was like the, if Significant Other was like the cake, Chocolate Starfish and Hot Chocolate Flavored Water was like the icing on top of that cake that made the genre of nu metal even sweeter than what it was. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
It was a good add-on to Limp Bizkit's career at that point. So I would go with that one at my number 14.
Okay. Let's see. I think I want to, at number 14, I need to go through and double check.
Which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for him, because I was talking to him about this right literally before we came and sat down to start recording this podcast. As I was going through the list, I had wrote down a couple of albums. I call it the honorable mentions. Really, it should be called the Forgotten 13, because it was 13 albums that I personally thought should have been on the list, or at least me personally felt that they were great records.
Okay.
And then when I told Chip about it, he was like, oh, I like that, I like that. Okay, you know, and just one of the albums on the list just happens to be the Edema album that he just previously talked about. So, you know,
yes,
pretty similar.
And I think for number 14, I'm also going to introduce another album, and I'm just trying to figure out
which one you want to take away.
Well, I want to make sure that it didn't make the list. I don't think it did. It, give me 2 seconds. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I should have been a little more prepared.
Yeah, but it's movement
radio. Not like I have 300 sheets of paper in front of me already.
Right, but it's movement radio. When are we ever prepared? You know what I'm saying?
It did not make the list.
Okay.
And I want to converse with you.
Okay. Because I literally am sitting here, and I literally just thought of another record that I can sit and listen to all the way through that didn't make the list, and I didn't have it on my list, my extra list either.
Okay.
I'll let you do what you... Go ahead.
Coming in at number, what was it?
14.
On Loudwire's top 50 albums, coming in at number 43 was Power Man 5000's Tonight the Stars Revolt.
Right.
I like that album. However,
you can't listen to it all the way through.
I think When Worlds Collide is a better album.
When Worlds Collide, you mean... No, When Worlds Collide is a song on
yes,
Tonight the Stars Revolt. Anyone for Doomsday? Is that the one you're talking about?
No. I'm losing my mind. I'm thinking of something completely different. This is the Power Man 5000 album that I'm thinking of. Woohoo!
There you go.
Oh.
You were thinking of like Somewhere on the Other Side of Nowhere, probably.
No,
that came later.
Somewhere on the Other Side of Nowhere is Korn.
No.
Somewhere on the Other Side of Nowhere is a Korn song.
Korn is See You on the Other Side.
No. I'm telling you.
I promise you.
It's a song.
Oh, it's
by Korn.
Oh, okay, it's a song by Korn. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And I know that because...
Because the album, the Power Man 5000 album was Somewhere on the Other Side of Nowhere. They also had a song about it as well. So...
Okay. Yeah, no.
Nevertheless, yeah.
So, I do love a lot of Power Man 5000 albums, but coming in at number 14 is Tonight the Stars Revolt.
Right.
By Power Man 5000. That's my bad. I was...
He got mixed up on the thing.
Yes, and it was... I know I was thinking of the other Power Man 5000 album that's also the Korn song that we just spoke about.
Yeah.
So coming in at number 14 is Tonight the Stars Revolt by Power Man 5000.
There you go.
I also don't think Power Man 5000 gets enough credit for what they do, because Spider One is the older brother of Rob Zombie.
Older or younger?
Older.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was younger. Oh, well. You know, which I think people loved the Power Man 5000 album because it was so... It was, in a way, more electro and techno than it was, like, metal. They had a good mix of heavy metal and techno. Kind of similar to the way Orgy was doing it, only they were a little bit more aggressive than Orgy was.
Yes.
I think. That being said...
Oh.
Go straight into my number 15, Candy Ass by Orgy.
Okay.
Man, again, like when we talked about it very briefly on the last episode, but yeah, Candy Ass was one of those albums that I was just like, man, who the hell are these weird-looking, emo-looking, goth-looking, techno-looking, you know, dudes who come out here wearing this crazy goth-style glam rock makeup with all these electronic sounding guitars and this weird drum pattern. And they did a cover of an old New Order song, Blue Monday, and that's my first time ever hearing them.
Yes.
And I was like, wow. Like, I didn't even know that was a cover until much later in life. I was like, that was a cover? You know? And then when you hear Stitches and you hear Revival and you hear Dizzy, that whole album. Now, again, like I said previously, I enjoy the album Vapor Transmissions just as much, but if it hadn't been for the success of Candy Ass, they probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to get the second record. Their third album, it was fine. But at 15, I would definitely have to go with Candy Ass at the number 15 position. So what would you have at number 15, brother?
At number 15 for me is an album that came out in 1999 by a band called Dope.
Love
it's,
Dope.
It's Felons and Revolutionaries.
Mm-hmm.
That album in itself is really good. They mix... they made the album. It's listed as nu metal, but it also... kind of resonated with gothic kids and punk kids and metalheads.
It was the perfect it was the perfect blend of goth and punk.
Well, yeah,
in a sense.
And the message in itself was throughout the album is the world is terrible.
Yeah.
And it's no more prevalent than in the year 2020.
Yes.
The world is terrible.
Yes.
Plus I really liked their cover of NWA's Fuck the Police.
Yeah.
And Dead or Alive, You Spin Me Right Round.
Right. And then that was two big up. There was also another good song on there, Debonair, which was probably, I won't say it's their commercially biggest success, but that was also the album that had Everything Sucks. It was also the album that had Sick. Like, there was so many other great songs on there. Like, the album itself is great. I would have it in my top 25. I don't know if I'd have it in my top 20.
Okay.
But I'm going to go on to another one. I got to sit here. I got to look through and find it first, though. Make sure that I have a... here we go. An album that I thought was great all the way through.
Yes.
Actually, let's see. Do I want to do that or do I want to do that? I'm kind of tossed between the two because I can listen to both albums all the way through.
Okay.
Fuck it. Number 16, Every 6 Seconds by Saliva.
Okay.
That album, dude, I don't know if it was because it's like a Southern thing, because, you know, they're a Tennessee-based band out of Memphis, and, you know, Josie Scott, you know, the way he had an aggression with his vocals on the album. And he pretty much did the same thing on Survival of the Sickest and a couple of albums. I can't remember the album in between, the album in between the two. But yeah, with Every 6 Seconds, you had Superstar, you had Click Click Boom, which is still to this day one of my favorite Saliva songs. And, you know, they had Your Disease on there. And the whole album was, it's going to sound weird the way I'm fixing to say it, and I probably might not coin this phrase, but It sounded like nu metal meets southern rock. Does that make sense?
Definitely makes
that's
sense.
That's what it reminds me of whenever I listen to it.
Makes sense to me.
You know, Josie Scott no longer is with the band. He's doing more of a Christian solo career at this point. They have a new lead singer. I haven't really heard much of anything from Saliva since then. You know, I think they've been very sparingly. I mean, they do a couple of festivals here and there, but as far as... you know, like a full-fledged album and, you know, like standalone tour or something. You don't really hear a lot much from them. But, you know, they had hits. You know, the song Click Click Boom by itself was on pretty much every movie from like 2000 to 2001. Fast and Furious, Dracula 2000. You know, there was a whole... That album in and of itself, again, was just a fun album to listen to. So I would, that's why I would put it at number 16.
Right. All right. So, my number 16. Is.
Forgive us, ladies and gentlemen, we should have been more prepared.
Always should have been more prepared.
Exactly. But welcome to Movement Radio.
Yes, welcome to Movement Radio, where we're prepared. Just not prepared enough.
Right. Dude, that's a t-shirt. that's got to be a t-shirt.
Yeah. That could be a t-shirt. Okay.
It could be. Okay. So what are you going to number 16, Bubba?
Well, number 16, according to the loudwire.com list, is System of a Down, Mesmerize. Again, like I said on episode one of this, I am not a System of a Down fan, and I realize there's a lot of people that do think System of a Down is a good band.
Right.
To each their own. I'm not going to fault you for that.
Right.
Even though you're wrong. Okay. I will not fault you for that. Coming in at number 16, the album Sinner by Drowning Pool.
Right.
So the obviously the first song anybody heard off of this album was Bodies.
Bodies, right.
And just, you know, one, something's wrong with me.
Two, something's wrong with me. Right.
You sit there and you're like, you know, and
it builds
and then, you know, boom, you're there. And right. It's like, damn, that's powerful.
It is, man.
But it's not my favorite song on the album.
Right.
My personal favorite song on the album is Tearaway.
Right.
Now, I will tell you that this isn't my favorite Drowning Pool album.
Right.
This is... My second favorite Drowning Pool album.
Right. The first one would be the self-titled album, right?
The self-titled album, yeah.
Which was the second album or third album that Ryan McComb did with them.
It was the second album, yeah, that he did, but it had the song King Zero on there.
Right.
Which is probably my favorite Drowning Pool song ever.
Okay.
Followed closely by Tearaway, then Bodies.
Right.
But I also wouldn't really... I think that self-titled Drowning Pool album wasn't as much nu metal, mm-hmm, as it was more...
It was more
rock.
It was more groove metal than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't even... It had more... There was more melody,
right,
to it than groove, if right, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So that's why I'm not going to place it on this list, but I did want to talk about it.
Right.
Number 16, Sinner by Drowning Pool.
I'm going to go with one that did not make the list.
Okay.
And
so what are we taking off?
I am going to take off... excuse me. Let me find it real quick. Like you, I'm going to take off the Primer 55, the new release album,
okay,
and take that completely off of the list.
Yes.
And at number 17, I'm going to put an album that helped me get through a lot of bullshit, helped me get through a trying time in my life. I'm going to go with Cold, Year of the Spider.
Okay.
That whole album was, to me, because a lot of people know Cold as, you know, the band, you know, they had the big hit with MTV's Tough Enough, or WWF Tough Enough. They had the song Gone Away that was kind of their, that was the big song from that album.
Yeah.
But Year of the Spider had Remedy, it had The Day Seattle Died, it had a lot of good songs on there that
The Day Seattle Died is one of my favorite Cold songs.
Yes.
There's another song on that album, and I want to say it's maybe the last track on
Kill the Industry.
Album.
Yeah, well, Kill the Industry is the last track on the album. There's also Black Sunday is another album that's on there, or another song that's on there.
No, I think it's Kill the Industry.
Yeah.
So, like I said, The Day Seattle Died is a very powerful song.
Yeah.
With
the chorus going, you know.
Well, it talks about
thrown away by pain, we could all feel the shotgun hit the floor.
Yeah, it's talking about Kurt Cobain's
death. Yeah, it's talking
about
Kurt Cobain's suicide. Yeah.
Well,
or his death. Yeah, let's say his death.
because that's still, I mean, in 2020, it's still controversial
right.
as to how the man killed himself with a double barrel shotgun when it's almost impossible to pull the trigger the way it was aimed at his
right.
head. But we're not.
We won't go into the
We're
conspiracy
not going to go into that conspiracy
yet.
Just yet.
But yeah, man, Year of the Spider was, to me, I mean, again, the first song it hit you with is Remedy. Whatever You Became is another good song that I enjoyed. The Rain Song is another good song.
Yes.
Just that whole album, I can listen to it from beginning to end and not at any point be bored. And even the slower stuff like Wasted Years, it hits you. You know what I'm saying? And they had one called Cure My Tragedy, which is the third song that's on the album. It hits you because it talks about the death of a family member and how you need to stay close to each other, you know, as much as you can, you know. And I think that was, you know, a very powerful record in and of itself. So I would say, yeah, Year of the Spider at number 17 for me.
Okay. I want to replace an album for my number 17.
Mm-hmm.
An album that didn't make the list. The band did, but the album didn't.
Okay.
At number 33, Loudwire has Stain Dysfunction.
Right.
I want to replace that with Break the Cycle.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, excuse me. Because you're not known as the biggest Stained fan.
I am not.
So that's why I'm a little
However, Break the Cycle in 99, or I'm sorry, Break the Cycle was in 2001.
2001, yeah.
That was also one of those albums when I came home from the military and I wasn't feeling like I was good enough to do the stuff that I thought I should have done.
Right.
That was an album that I could sit and listen
through.
To.
Yeah.
And it did. Music has a way of soothing.
Right.
It's kind of soothing the soul, per
yes,
se.
Yes, definitely.
So, with your permission, I would like to replace 99's Dysfunction with 2001's Break the Cycle.
Okay. That I'm all right with that, too. And I
also thought Break the Cycle was a better album. Dysfunction was good.
Dysfunction was harder. Dysfunction was very... Because you could tell Stain was more melodic on Break the Cycle because it had songs like Empathy... and it had songs like Waste, but at the same time, it also had harder stuff too, like For You and God, what was that other one? Yeah, so many good songs on that album.
Yeah.
Can't Believe is probably the hardest song I ever heard by him. Honestly,
really?
It's just him screaming the whole time, pretty much, except for the chorus.
But you also had songs like It's Been a While.
It's Been a While. Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah.
Fade.
Fade was good. Fade was good, yeah.
You know.
They actually performed it on MTV the VMA Awards one year.
Yeah. So. And ironically, you know I love going to concerts, but I don't like listening to live music on an album.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, neither, yeah.
However, the live album version of Outside with Aaron Lewis and Fred Durst
yeah,
is the best version of that song. And it, dude, it, in my opinion,
because it was so raw. It wasn't overproduced. It wasn't oversaturated. It was just him, a guitar, and a microphone, and basically opening his, because this was around the time that his daughter Zoe was born.
Yes.
And it was kind of, you know, apropos for, you know, for him to belt that out there the way that he did. So I'm going to go to number 18. Again, an album that's not on the list.
Okay.
An album that's not on the new list.
Okay.
I am replacing something I just, like, why it didn't hit me to do it now to do it, but I'm going to do it. I am removing Taproot's Gift from this list, the original list.
Okay.
And in its place at number 18, An Education in Rebellion by Union Underground.
I can dig it.
It is, because you introduced me to the band, and I, first time I ever heard him was when our buddy James used Turn Me On, Mr. Dead Man as intro music. And then you then switched around and used Revolution Man. Is that correct?
That's
right. As entrance music. And I was like, well, where are you guys getting this?
And then Kevin.
And Kevin also used
South Texas Death Ride. Which I stole for a move name.
Right. And then I, eventually, when they turned me heel at another show someplace else, I didn't have any music with me. And back then, they still used CD players to play music. So you said, just pick a song on this CD. And then that's when I picked the song Until You Crack. And literally, that whole album was just heavy, and it was different. It wasn't the typical new metal stuff that a lot of people were listening to. It was something completely different. And I would say that, and a lot of people give it shit because it was just a one album. They were, you know, Union Underground were one-hit wonders. Nah, that was a fun album to listen to, in my opinion.
Yeah. I definitely, it's in my top 20. But we're not there yet,
right?
For it,
mm-hmm.
Coming up next at number 18 for me, may possibly shock you a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, great! Just dropped a bunch of my papers. It's okay.
It's okay. I reloaded.
It's okay. I can fix it.
It's needed. Beat it.
Pen, please.
Go ahead. I'm so sorry. I was trying to scratch off
you're fine.
Gotten up.
So coming in at number 27 on Loudwire's list was Wisconsin Death Trip by Static X.
Right.
I'm breaking it in at number 18.
Yes.
On my list.
Yes. Static X was one of those bands that you didn't really know what they were when you first heard them. Because it was like, you heard the song, the very first song you hear is Push It. And it's like, damn, wing, wing, you know, and it's like, whoa, like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then when you hear Wayne start to sing, and it's like, yo, this is different.
This is dope.
You know, this is crazy. You know, because he very, very, now I do think that later albums were just, like, I love the Cannibal album that Static X did, and I love the Machine album, but yeah, I would say I would put Wisconsin Death Trip up there because it was the first introduction that they brought into the scene. And, God, man, what was it about it, like, going all the way through? Because, I mean, Wisconsin Death Trip was just a different record in and of itself.
Man, it was – that's the thing. That's what drew me to it, is it was that different record. It was heavy, but it wasn't heavy. It was melodic, but it wasn't melodic.
Right.
It was reggae without being reggae.
Right.
It was, you know, it was just there. And
right.
I couldn't stop listening. I was like, what in the hell? Like, it's right? One of those albums where it's like, what the hell did he just say?
Yeah.
And then you rewind it.
Is he having a seizure on this record? What the hell happened?
Right.
And then you have to go back. That was the first time that I actually had to go look at liner notes and be like, okay, what did he say in this part?
Exactly.
You know, so... So at number 19 for me, and I'm going all the way back to the beginning of the list.
Okay.
I got to go with Slipknot's self-titled album, Slipknot.
Okay.
You know, when you hear Wait and Bleed, hear Spit It Out, and you hear a lot of the, and like I said before, that, you know, even though I think that the Slipknot record was an incredible record. And I do think that Iowa was a more progressive record. Because I think with Slipknot's self-titled record, they were able to, you know, bring everything together. And then with the Iowa record, they turned it up to 1,000 as far as, again, the darkness, the heaviness, the sonics, and everything else.
Right.
But with the Slipknot record, I mean, from the jump, you know, and, you know, I swear to God, like, when I heard Joey Jordison on the double bass drums, I swear to God, they were shooting a fucking machine gun in the booth. Like, dude is fast. The guitars on a technical basis wasn't as technical as it was on Iowa and later albums, but I do think that the formation of the Slipknot and how they basically created. I think if it wasn't for Slipknot, period, we wouldn't have a lot of the other harder bands that came out later.
Okay.
But I think for this particular album, the Slipknot self-titled record, it was kind of like in the same way that Static X, Wisconsin Death Trip was completely different. This completely changed it because it was a mixture of like the hard, like, because Corey Taylor, growing up, he was more Metallica, Slayer, Ministry, like the old school, like 1980s Ministry sound.
Right.
But he infused it in with a lot of what Sid, you know, wanted to do as far as the techno and mixing in, or the hip hop mixing in with it too.
Right.
You know, because that's DJ Starscream in another universe.
Yes.
So yeah, I would put Slipknot right there at number 19.
Okay. My number 19, and I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning. The very beginning.
Right.
Loudwire had this album listed at number 1.
Right.
I have it listed at number 19. That's Korn's self-titled album.
Right. I can dig it.
Again, a good album. I didn't think it was as good as Follow the Leader.
Right.
But just blind. I mean, everybody knows.
Right.
Everybody knows the opening, like, line for Blind.
Right.
Because he's just like, are you ready?
Yeah.
So, number 19, Korn's self-titled album.
I would say Korn's self-titled album at number 20 for me.
Okay.
For kind of the same reasons you just said, but also at the same time, and there were other great I never thought in my wildest dreams someone would take fucking Nursery Rhymes and put them in a song the way that Jonathan Davis did with the song Chutes and Ladders.
Exactly.
Like, that song in and of itself was like, it blew me away the way that it was constructed and the way that it was put it together and putting all these little notes in there and then making the guitars. And then at one point, right before he goes into the knick-knack, patty-whack, give a dog a bone part of it, you just hear this low, like, I don't know if it was head or monkey that was actually doing it, but it's just like, and it's like it paused for just that one little small second, and then it's like it scared you back into the, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, and it was so low, and they were using 7 strings on D strings. Like, that was the first band that I ever heard use a 7-string guitar. It was weird.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if bands previous used 7-string guitars, but they were, like, known for using those 7-string guitars.
Exactly.
So, and then exactly. You, at number 20, you have?
At number 20, I have An Education in Rebellion by Union Underground.
Right.
I love this album. I hate that I couldn't put it higher.
Right.
Than number 20, but all the other 19 songs I love as well.
Right.
Or the other 19 albums, I'm sorry.
Right.
I love as well. An Education in Rebellion is, it's the perfect, this is going to sound really weird. It's the most perfectly unperfect album
that I know of. It makes sense. It makes sense the way you're saying it. Absolutely.
Revolution Man, where he's, you know, talking about, you know, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds Again, which is, you know, it's an ode back to
the Beatles. Right.
And everything. And I actually, right before we get out of here, I want to drop this. I was reading an article just yesterday.
Okay.
The band has gotten back together.
Okay.
And they're testing the waters with some new music.
Are you hoping that it's not going to be like a retread of what they've done previously?
I'm hoping
that, because I think in 2020 today, maybe nu metal isn't going to be as acceptable today. Now, there was a revival back in 2016.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying.
So, what I'm hoping is they're not going to go in and just play this album and re-record this album. I'm hoping that they come with something new, something raw, something real, something authentic.
You can't spell bars without putting that arse in it. Shout out to you, arse. But yeah, man, I think this is dope, man. But we got 20 great albums. Well, we each have 20 albums that we consider significant to the nu metal genre.
Yes.
Now, are we stopping at 20, or would you like to go 21?
We're going to stop at 20 for today.
Okay.
And then we'll come back with a part 3, and hopefully we can get through the rest of this list, but it may not. It's definitely going to be, like I said from the get-go, a multi-parter.
Right.
Because these albums mean so much to us, we don't want to breeze through and be like, oh, well, at one it's this, and at two it's that, and at
right,
three
exactly.
it's this. You know, we want to give you guys a little inside feeling, per se, of why we're putting these albums at these numbers and what they mean to us.
Right. So just to recap real quick before we get out of here, let's just recap 11 through 20. For me, at number 11, Development by Nonpoint. At number 12, Infest by Papa Roach. At number 13, Satellite by POD. At number 14, Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water by Limp Bizkit. At number 15, Candy Ass by Orgy. At number 16, Every 6 Seconds by Saliva. At number 17, Year of the Spider by Cold. Number 18, An Education in Rebellion by Union Underground. At number 17, Slipknot's self-titled album. And at number 20, Korn's self-titled album.
Slipknot would have been 19.
19.
You said 17.
I meant 19. I'm sorry.
And for me,
the 9 kind of looks like a 7 in a way.
Sorry.
Okay. No, you're good.
For me, 11, Linkin Park Meteora. 12, POD Satellite. 13, Edema's self-titled album. 14, Tonight the Stars Revolt by Power Man 5000. 15, Felons and Revolutionaries by Dope. 16, Sinner by Drowning Pool. 17, Break the Cycle by Stained. 18, Wisconsin Death Trip by Static X. 19, Korn's self-titled album. And 20, An Education in Rebellion. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave you for the day, but we promise to come back with more in just a week or so. With that being said, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Also, check out our YouTube channel, Movement Radio. Make sure you subscribe and you click that bell and the notifications so you can be updated on our latest videos.
I am Chip Hazard.
I am Talon Williams. And this is Movement Radio.